There have been some men and women and children who laid their life down for, they believed what Christ provided to be so real to them that they were willing to lay their lives down for it. And I think about how privileged we are to live where we live, to have what we have. And sometimes we look at our situation and we don't think we're doing all so well. But I think we've got to take a step back and really look how incredible God's been to us. I could have been born on a different continent to a different family. But God saw to it to have my life like it is now. And you may never have all you want, but we've been blessed. And we ought to be thankful for that. He said, in everything, give thanks. Everything. Good? That's easier to give thanks. Bad? It's not so easy, but we should. We should give him glory and honor. Remember, we've been dealing with the glory? Talking about the glory? I get asked from time to time on people that I meet. I meet a lot of people. In any given week, I might meet several people that I've never seen before. Well, I get asked sometimes, you know, because it always comes up somehow or another. God always has a way to bring it up. You know, I get asked, most times I get asked this question, well, can you take us on Sunday? No, I don't think folks are like that. They said, why? I said, well, I preach on Sundays. I think they want me to be there. You preach? I said, yeah. So, oh, we didn't know you did that too. And so at the end of the event, usually on Saturday evenings, I get asked this question a lot. What's the sermon on? Now, I got asked that twice this week. Two different people. Folks I've never met. Well, the last one that asked that was this morning. And we went and seen them off, and they were going. And all of a sudden, tears start welling up in folks. And see, never know what impact God wants to give you in somebody's life. And it may just be a little, but it's enough. Because it's all about seed. Not giving a whole message. It's about seed. Being who you are and what God has designed for you to be in the life of somebody else. And when God places you anywhere, and you know, I want you to understand this. Just because I'm the pastor here, that don't mean that my position is more significant than yours. Where you are and where God has you is very significant for the impact that God wants to use you in to touch the people that you'll come in contact with. That's so important to understand that. A lot of times people say, well, I wish I had more of an impact or more. You don't realize the impact you have just being who you are. You know, you impact people by just being if you're a lady in here, just being mama impacts somebody's life. Think about the impact you've had on your children. What about being a wife? And men in here, being a husband, being a father, and being just being a neighbor sometimes. It's an impact. We gotta make sure that we have those impacts, that who we are to be in the right direction. What direction we're trying to point people to? The kingdom. That kingdom's coming. You know, we pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, we want your will. So you make an impact. And I just begin to share with them this morning. Sometimes I joke with them, you know, yesterday they asked, and I said, well, y'all behaved in such a way I have y'all on point seven. I'm using y'all as an illustration. And the guy says, I hope we behaved. Pretty good there. But anyway, it's amazing how God will use you. But me and Charlotte was there this morning, and I know she could tell. It was just that moment, just one little moment, and everybody just froze. And I said, when you're talking about God and his wonderful glory, he went, oh, my. He said, it just hit me. He said, he rubbed his face. He said, it's all over my, going up my arm and everything. He went, whoa. He said, I saw when your head tilted like that and knew it was coming. I notice I tilt my head right when I'm about to make a point. Well, he didn't know. He don't know me from no one. He said, when you did like that, he said, I knew it was about to be something. But just one moment. You never know your moment, your opportunity. So let God use you. Let this time of the year be a time that you let God use you. Minister to people. Remember, I got up this morning, and I prepare myself to come and give honor to God. It's not just about me coming and give honor to God. It's about God. What do you want to do? What do you want to say? How do you want to use us today? So you live in your life not just for you to make it, but to be a part of the overall plan that God has. You're part of that. And God wants you to know you're part of that. God wants you to know that you're significant to Him. God wants you to know that He loves you and He cares about you. And you sometimes we gotta think about those things. God loves me. He cares about me. Look what He's done for me. He's been good to me. And that's something that we have to appreciate. The more we appreciate that, the more thanks we give to God, the more we're going to see God move in our lives. How many want to do that? So we're looking at God at work. And we're going to continue in this. Maybe I can kind of bring this to some kind of close. And we're going to go off. And again, I always say it's not a different direction. It's just another piece. Another piece to this amazing picture that God has given us. And what we want to try to do is not take the piece. Remember I talked about a puzzle on Thursday night. I mentioned this. And last Sunday I mentioned this. You can't take the piece and whittle the end out till it'll fit, because it changes the picture. I promise you. Sister Dawn, she does beautiful puzzles. She did one for me. I have it in my office. And she knows about puzzles. And I seen them. I done been visiting their house. They got puzzles, you know. I say, sometimes what they do, they put them together, and after they put them together, they take them apart. That takes a lot of time. You pack it away and maybe do it again another time. But there's one thing I know she knows. You can't take the piece and carve the edge off so it'll fit. You got to make sure it fits. Because then when you do that, it changes the picture. Yeah. And I think that's what's happening in the church world today. We want to carve on it and smooth it out and sand it over. And we don't realize that over a long period of time, maybe not now, because it don't develop for a while. For a while it takes before, because there's a lot of pieces, and you say, well, I wonder what it is. And another piece goes, I wonder what it is. And so this could take a long time before it really develops. And when it does, and you still confused, that's a problem. But when you don't fool with the edges, and you just let Scripture lay where Scripture's supposed to lay, in the end, it may take a while for us to fully get it. But when we do get it, it's going to be a clear picture. It's going to be clear. How many know God never wrote the Bible through inspiration of men, that He and His Spirit inspired, never wrote it to bring confusion on nobody? I don't think God ever intended us to try to get infer from Scripture something here and something there to try to figure something out. I don't think God ever intended that, ever. I believe His Scripture is inspiration, and it's important that we understand that man, just like you and I, has taken, went through great lengths to take the original writings and try to translate that original writing. In that translation, I believe that there's been bias, and I also believe there's been translation. Rather than translating, there's been interpretation. And you can't take the original and write your interpretation in. We either got to translate it or leave it alone. And so some words have been left alone. They haven't translated them. So when we go through Scripture, we see that there are certain words that there's no translation to it. It's just kind of been left there. It's the same word in the original. And so I think that we have to take all that in consideration when we look at Scripture and we study them for ourselves. I can't tell you how important it is for everyone to take some time to study. It's important for you to do that. You have to take some time to study the Scripture. Take some time to look at the Word and let the Word minister to you. I'm telling you, this is of value to us. And we have to open up our understanding. Now, how many you've been hearing these messages or things around this, this theme for quite some time now? If you've been here for the last couple years, you've been hearing me say this. I seen something this morning in a moment, within 1 minute, 60 seconds. In 60 seconds, I was able to condense down what I believe God is wanting to do for a couple of gentlemen within 60 seconds and open up the understanding on how we got to have fresh eyes to see the Word of God and look into it with a different understanding. In 60 seconds, God was able to just open up, break the fallow ground, and have a seed planted. What happens a lot of times when we're around it a lot, we don't realize how much the emphasis that the Spirit of God's trying to put on us, that we become the individual that can be a conduit into somebody else's life to share the gospel. And the gospel is very important to God. And it's the gospel has, I think it's been minimized to try to make it kind of fit everywhere. And I think we have to be careful with that. I don't think that God's word has to come and synchronize itself with philosophy of men. I think that's a bad way to study the scripture. We don't sync the word up to philosophy. I mean, you know, when we do that, we're going to change the word of God. And it may take a while, but over a period of time, we will change what it's saying. And I think that we live in a society that's expecting it all just to, it just needs to all fit. And we want it to fit without change. It's going to fit without change. Our behavior as individuals outside of God and the blood that we've been dealing with, it's never going to fit in the plan of God. How many of you know not a single person, not one individual who is not covered and washed by the blood, that the price that Jesus paid for you and I, without that, there's no remission of sin. There's nothing, so we can't, you're not going to be able to insert through ideas and philosophy and tradition any person into the kingdom of God, because we feel like, you know, the way I see it, this is how it's going to be. This is the way I see it. God's okay with that. And I've said this many times. It really doesn't matter the way we see it. It really matters on what God said. And I think we have to revisit the scripture as when it comes to that. So to synchronize, and that's happening in our society today. It's big. We're going to go in. We're just going to synchronize and run parallel together with, so we can be a voice to the lost. But we don't find that in the scripture. We don't find that that's what God wanted us to do. What we find in the scripture, he says, be a light. Be a light to the world. Be salt of the earth. That's what we see in the scripture. We see that God's expecting you and I to speak with a voice that is not a voice that says, well, we're just going to sync up. It's going to be okay. What we find Jesus did is when he came on the scene and he spoke against philosophy, he spoke against tradition of men and said, we can't do this anymore. Now, if Jesus would have been one to just kind of sync up, he'd have come and said, okay, I understand you've been doing this for all your lives, and we don't want to come here and interfere with that. So what we'll do, we're going to show you how you can still keep that. Still do what you want to do, but as long as you love Jesus. Do we find that message in the scripture? We don't find that. We don't find that. We're talking about the life of someone. We're talking about the precious blood of Jesus. The life that's been shed for us. That's what we find. Now, if that's the case, why shed his blood? If all we got to do is kind of smooth over the edges and get in sync, you know, and we kind of flow, we don't, you know, as long as we're sort of close, everything's going to be okay. Why would we have to have Jesus die? What's the point in it? What's the point in his death? The reason he died is because what we have and what we had is not good enough to satisfy God. On our best day, in our best behavior, it's not good enough. All the traditions of men is not good enough to satisfy God. Does that make sense to everyone? God was not satisfied by it. And there's been some sacrifices that we see that were made. And people sacrifice. I mean, they go out and they take a lamb out of their fold. And some folks didn't have a whole lot to take from. But they had to. It was required of them to take one and sacrifice it. So there was some sacrifice. And we read about it through Scripture that sacrifice was made. They made sacrifice continually before the Lord. But was it enough to satisfy God? But he planned. He said, there's going to be the lamb that will come. That lamb's going to be my son. And he will give his all. And that what he gave was for you and I. We have to accept that, receive that. It's part of what has been supplied for us. And I want to point out some of these things to you today as we read the Scripture. So we're going to be in Peter, and I believe 1 Peter. We'll start there, and we'll try to get through as much as we can of this. So we're going to turn, and I put up just the key verses that I want to point out, but we'll turn in our Bibles. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter. And we'll continue in dealing with these verses that show what has been provided for us and what we have to understand about that provision. Our acceptance of it, believing in it. Remember, it's not the work of man. And it's easy. It's easy to get quickly on works, especially around this time of the year. Wouldn't it be nice to folks and you're more giving around the holiday season, so we feel like, you know, what I'm going to do is we're going to give, and somehow that puts us in some standing with God. It doesn't. Let me understand that. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. And I encourage people to be a person who is thankful, giving, sharing, helping folks. That's all great things, great things. And it should be, we should congratulate people and reward people that are willing to do those things. But that's not enough. That's not what fixes what's wrong with man. That don't fix what's going on in our blood. That only the blood that's been provided for us can make it work. What changes me in my spirit? It's going to be something that Jesus spoke of, and he said, and he spoke of it so wonderfully, and we'll share with some of those things today. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, I'll start with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and who are chosen, and so watch who this, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. How are we chosen? According to the foreknowledge of God. Not because the church accepts you. You don't, listen, it's not about being accepted by the church or accepted by the pastor. You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Does that help anybody today? I don't know about you, but it helps me to know that I've been chosen by the foreknowledge of God. That's incredible to me. Think about that. Now, it took me a while to get caught up with that. Brother Josh was sharing this morning. It took him a while to catch up with that. Chosen by the foreknowledge of God. When? When he was just that little bitty running around. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Do you get, how many of us get that? When I was just a little fella, God saw the day. Sometimes that's hard for us to get our mind wrapped around it. It really is. We think somehow I made some good decisions. Look at me. You understand? I've been chosen by the foreknowledge of God. That ought to tell us something. That ought to move inside of us in such a way. That, and let me tell you, this is so important that we grab hold to this. And listen, it does have a lot to do with what you and I have decided to do based on the information that has been awarded to us. And God gets that truth to us. So what sets us free? the truth. So we in bondage to, how many has been in bondage to lies and deception and ideas in our own head? That, how many has ever been down on yourself? Well, you figured, you know, I'm worthless. I really don't matter to anybody. Nobody really cares about me. But truth comes to you and somebody says, listen, you're important. I love you and I care about you. You get liberated from that. So truth can set you free from those ideas. That's why we have to read the scripture. I've been chosen by the foreknowledge of God. That's encouraging to me. God saw, when I was all mixed up, couldn't figure it out, God still chose. I was chosen by God. And so be encouraged by that. He said, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey who? Jesus Christ, and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Do you see that? So I'm chosen by the foreknowledge of God the Father. And it's done. What works that work in me? By the what? By the Spirit. How many see that operation? By the Spirit. Now watch this. To obey. How many know we have to obey for it to become that reality in us? We got to obey the Word. We can't just say, well, I know what the Word says and carry it around. We got to obey the Word. So if we're not obeying the Word, it's going to be very difficult for the power. And how many know that Word is powerful? How many know the Word is quick? It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. How many understand that principle? It's quick, powerful. But we got to do what? For the Word to work. We got to obey the Word. So, do I have any help to obey the Word? Yeah, see, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ. How many get that? That's so important for us to get. It's not like God says, okay, here you are, you're alive, you're born, figure it out on your own. There's somebody, that's why it's so important to be a voice. What I said this when it first started, be impact where you are. God puts you there. That's what you ought to get up and say, God, you put me here. You made this possible. I want to be able to speak the words that you want me to speak. I can assure you there's no doubt about this statement that there are some people that you speak to on a weekly basis that I don't speak to them. They don't hear my voice. They're hearing your voice. If they're hearing your voice, then your voice has to be a voice that is sharing the gospel. That's why God's put you there. That's why God's causing you to be in that arena so you can be an impact into people's life. And it may just be, listen, I'm not talking about going and being overly preachy to anybody. I'm just saying be what God's, what you're saying you are. If you're the light of the world, be the light. Don't cover it up. Be a light. Be what God has caused you to be. If you're the salt of the earth, then he said if the salt has lost its ability to flavor, then what good is it? It's not. He said nothing but to be trod under the foot of men. And we don't want that. Because what happens? Who's the one that's looked down on after that happens? It's not us. Because if we're not doing it, we just blend in with the rest of the world that's not doing it. But the one that gets tried is the gospel that Christ paid dearly for with his own blood. His blood. Remember that. Remember that. His blood. With the sprinkling of his blood. So I think that we have to understand that we're talking about who we are, where we were, and what it took to get us to the place that we are. It was his blood that we've been sprinkled with, and I'm thankful for that. How many thankful for that? And I think that's something that we have to spend time looking at, understanding for it to become real to us. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How did it happen? How did it happen? We're talking about being born again now. First of all, can you be born again without being sprinkled with his blood? There's an order. How many know there's an order to us coming to live the life that we now can live in Christ? as an order. And who's this for? It's for whosoever believes in him should not perish. That's what he said. How many believe that? And he said, for this is eternal life, that they may know thee. Talking about God. Jesus is saying this, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, to know Jesus is not just somebody to say, hey, you know Jesus? Well, I heard a bunch about him. I'm going to tell you how many things that people's heard about him is not necessarily the thing that's going to bring salvation to them. You know, there's a country, and I'm sure you've seen this, and the country is Brazil. And I've flown over Brazil, but never been to that country. But not only in Brazil, but there's other countries who have this. But in Brazil, there's a big, on the top of this mountain, there's a big statue. And if you've ever seen any shows or movies, there's a big Jesus statue like this. It's huge. It's like the one landmark you can see throughout the entire country of Brazil. Is anybody familiar with that scene in that statement? There's this huge statue. And in that country, the people have been taught that that's it. I mean, you go to anybody in there. Now, they have lived their life however they want. But they honor that statue. They honor Jesus. I mean, that's big on their list. They'll have tattoos on them about it. They'll have crosses about it. They honor it because that's big on them. I mean, I'm not talking about superficial either. I mean, in their heart. They'll fight you for it. They'll die for it. They believe in it that much. But you can fight for something, believe in something, and carry it around, and it still not be right. Do you understand? And that's dangerous. It's dangerous to believe in something with all your heart and it be the wrong thing. We have a job. Our job is cut out for us. But that's what happens when we think we can do service to God, to Yahweh, how we want to do it. Doesn't work that way. We can't say, well, as long as I'm serving God with it, it should be okay. Really. There's a prescribed method that the Bible's very clear on how we can serve and honor God. Now, let me ask you this. Can a person observe all those things? The statues, observe the statues, make the signs, do the praying, all of that, and not understand the blood that's been sprinkled on us, and can they be born again? Well, let me read the third verse to you one more time. I want you to see this. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who we blessing, the blessings going to in that verse? Blessed be the what? God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who we giving the blessing to? Who Jesus instructs us to give the blessing to? Did he ever instruct to bless him? Can anybody find one verse where Jesus says to worship me? Not one. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Not one verse in the entire Bible will we find where Jesus says to worship him. Not one. He never said that. He said, and so blessed be the God and Father. Was the apostles, did they do that? Did they worship Jesus? No. We don't see that nowhere in the early church. Ever do we see that. We don't see that. So he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. Remember that? Caused us to be born again to a living hope through, watch this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the what? The dead. Now, there's some folks don't even believe Jesus died. Well, I want to submit to you, he was dead for 3 days. And he rose again because God raised him up from the dead. Now, when God raised him up from the dead, the blood that was presented on behalf of the world, that blood was a symbol of what they would do in the Old Testament. They would go in once a year, and they would bring for every household. And if the household wasn't big enough, they would kind of come together. It was a small, maybe it was just a small family, and they'd bring a lamb, and that lamb would be slain. They'd walk into the east gate, walk in that gate, the lamb would be slain. They would take the blood. That blood would be put in a bowl. Then they would take the slain lamb, drag it over toward the brazen altar, and place it on the altar, and it would be burned. They wouldn't eat it. They would burn it. It was a sacrifice. But that blood would go past the laver. There's the laver, and the priest would wash up and clean, and then that blood is presented. So in the holies of holies, the high priest, he would present the blood on behalf of that family. And this went on all day long. There were mass sacrifices made. Think about this. I want you to kind of get your mind around this. Say there, and these numbers are not, we're not trying to stretch these numbers. These are pretty accurate numbers. 3 million people. All right? 3 million. And we're going to sacrifice a lamb for every family. How many of you think there's a lot of killing going on? For every family. Think about that. And so that was the way. And so there was a point that God says, you know, the blood of bulls and goats, I mean, you know, that'd been on for years, too. That went on for, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So that, you know, it went on for years, and they were still doing it. They were still making those sacrifices when Jesus came. But they knew about the promise. They knew the promise was coming. There'd be one come. That Messiah, the Mashiach, they were waiting for. The Jews knew that, and they were waiting for him to come. But notice the scripture. He says, listen, it's the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Then at verse 3, very key for us to understand, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. I mean, thank God for being born again. We're born again to a living hope. So we know, and how does this operation work? By faith. Everybody go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews real quick. I'm going to read this to you. I think it's important for us to make sure we recognize this. It's not for you. You'll be there in just a few pages back. Go to Hebrews. Go to verse 1 of chapter 11. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. See that? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the men of old gained what? It gained approval. How many see that? Now I want to talk about one guy who we know gained approval. Abraham. It says, because he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. How many understand that? Now, if I'm born again, I'm in what standings with God? Right standing with God. Being born again, I'm in right standing with God. So Abraham believed God. He believed the promise of God so much that it was accounted to him on his account. A deposit was made on his account. How many understand that? On his account, a deposit was made. How many would be happy if somebody ever went and made a deposit in your account and you didn't know about it? What if the bank called you and said, look, we don't know what's going on. Somebody made a generous deposit in your account of this much money. What do you want to reject it or accept it? Hey. You know, you would say, well, you know, I want it. You wouldn't say, well, I'm looking, it ain't mine. It ain't mine. I don't want it. You'd want it. Right? Did you know that there's been a deposit made for those who believe? There's been a deposit. It's in your account. Just want you to know. Jesus made a deposit for you and I on account of us when God raised him from the dead. Do you notice that verse? When he raised him from the dead, the deposit was made. Now, we got to understand that, is it yours only if you can withdraw it, or is it yours because it's in your account? If it's in your account, it's yours. But most folks want to withdraw it and say, now it's mine. I know it's mine now. No, by faith, it's accounted, it's assurance and a conviction. And you got to accept that. That's why he said, without faith, you can't please God. How many understand that? You got to have faith that's in your account. How many thank God it's in your account? Now, who paid for all this? His blood. Remember that. His blood. His blood. You see that? His blood. That's what paid for it. And that's something that we have to understand. We're not talking about the blood of bulls and goats. Well, the blood of bulls and goats, did God allow them to have power to bring a covering to the people in the Old Testament? He did. But that's God's choice. He can do that. He's God. Why? God said this is, but did God pick certain animals and certain sacrifices? He did. Remember, he said, you remember there was a time when he said, if you don't have the money for a lamb, you could bring two what? Two doves. Remember that? That was for those who didn't have, see, not everybody had those means. Other people did certain things. Some people had all of those. I mean, some didn't. But God made sure to make provision. I'm going to ask you something. What did Mary and them bring for the sacrifice with Jesus? What did they bring? Did they bring a lamb or two turtle doves? That's some good homework right there. They brought turtle doves. I wonder why. Think about it. Let me tell you why. They didn't have a lamb. Pretty easy. If they'd have had a lamb, what they was required to bring? The lamb. What did they bring? They didn't have a lamb. That's something to think about. God will use you. You don't have to be in a different position. Don't look to somebody else and say, if I was in their position, I can be used great by God. Look how God used Joseph and Mary. He used them greatly. Well, they were not in a position that a lot of folks were in. Because most folks were bringing a lamb. What did they bring? Turtle doves. God used them amazingly. So that's a provision that God allowed. Now, I just figured I'd just, the Lord brought it to my attention, so I guess I'd just share that with you. Go to the next one. Revelations 1. Let's look at that. Revelations 1. Verse 4, it says, and John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. How many see that? Now, when most folks read verse 4, they think he's speaking of Jesus immediately. He who is, he who was, and he who is to come. Well, you see that? And from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits was before his throne, and, continuation of thought, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Who's the firstborn of the dead? Jesus. How did born again go into action? When Jesus was what? Raised from the dead. Remember that. Born again went into action for us to accept it by faith and receive it when he was raised from the dead. That's when God, when he raised him from the dead. Now here I want you to notice something. In verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Who's the first from the dead? Jesus. He's the firstborn from the dead. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sin, how? By his blood. I like that. How did he release us from our sins? By his blood. To me, that's amazing. So there's a release from our sins by his blood. Can I be released from my sin by my behavior? No. Not my work. What about my good works? Can I be released from my sins by my good works? What if I just start going to church every Sunday and I'm involved in everything there is in church? Can I be released from my sins? No, we release from our sins by his blood. Remember that. By his blood we release from our sins. And we can't ever change. We can't change that. I know that there's a lot of synchronism. People want to put everything just kind of synchronized. It's okay. I'm just tell you again. We cannot. You cannot, I cannot be released from my sins without his blood. Because our blood has been tainted. We're born into sin. To get that back again where it satisfies God. When he created Adam, and Eve, he said, Bible says, he, Jesus even made this statement, he which created them, male and female. Who was he talking about, Jesus? He didn't say I. He didn't say me. He said he created them, male and female. Who was Jesus talking about? Somebody's father. Who created male and female? God. Who created the world? God did. Remember we dealt with this last Sunday, but at Colossians, by him was all things created. Without him was not anything made. And so you see, Jesus created all. No, Jesus said he did. What was created from Jesus? We're talking about new creation, authorities, rules. Remember we dealt with all that. After he's born again, what comes? So he's the first. Everything that comes after him being the first, who do we submit to? We submit to what Christ has done. We follow in his footsteps. A Christian is one who follows Christ. We become Christ-like. He's the example, perfect example. What do? We put him on. We wear him as a garment. Remember, we dealt with that in many of our services. We dealt with, put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put him on. If God's going to look at me, I want him to see through what Christ has done. I don't want him to see my bad. Do you understand? I want him to look at my mistakes and my failures. And every time I let God down, I don't want that to be in front of me. Because if that, I won't ever go pray. And if I think that way, I'm going to stay away from church. I'm going to stay away from Christians. I'm going to stay away from praying. Stay away from reading my Bible because my conscience is bothering me. But when I'm talking about his blood, my conscience got to calm down. Just calm down. We're talking about what Christ did for you. And that's the grace of God that starts bubbling up inside of it. It comes on you and you say, you know what? I know I've made mistakes, but one thing's for certain. He, by his foreknowledge, he picked me and chose me, and I thank God for that. And I'm covered by his blood. I'm thankful for that. So we're covered by the blood of Jesus, picked by God in his foreknowledge to do what God wants us to do. That's incredible to me. So I wanted you to understand these particular readings. So hopefully these are some of the things that will help us come to these wonderful understandings about God. Look at the next one. Back to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, here in this particular, let's see where I can start here. Verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. We'll read through. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when is grace brought to me? At the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. So when I talk about revelation of Jesus, I'm not just talking about knowing him. Somebody said, well, you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Revelation of Jesus is not selective understanding. Revelation here, when he talks about, is the full understanding. Revelation of Jesus, meaning that you understand what God actually sent him for, the work that he does, that revelation of knowing what he did, his blood, his what it done, is understanding that that's when grace has come to us. Until then, we're not living under that grace. There's been a lot of people that's been in church for a long, long time, didn't understand the grace of God. And so we get involved in a lot of activities because we feel like we got to be, I want to be a better person. Is that why we come to serve God, to be a better person? Listen, there's some people that's got a talent to be good. They don't know Jesus, but they just talented. I mean, they're just part of who they are. They know how to be good and do good things and all of that stuff. But good don't get nowhere, not with God. You know, and I appreciate good, and you appreciate good. You appreciate when people's polite and nice, and that's great. And it gets places with other people. But with God, he said, who's good? Remember they came to Jesus, and he comes to him and says, good master. And Jesus says, why call you me good? There's one good, and that's God. I'm just saying what Jesus said. Now, if anybody should have accepted the title of being good, it would be Jesus, right? I would think. I read about his life. I don't see any bad behavior. I don't see where he hurt anybody. You understand? So if anybody would have accepted the title of being good, it would have been Christ. But he said, there's but one good, and that's God. So when God made man, he made the male and female. I was making that point just a moment ago. What did he do when he stepped out? He said, it is what? Good. But nothing wrong with it. But sin changed that. And when sin changed that, we have to have something else to take its place. And that's where Christ came in. Christ came and he takes that place. So let's read through here. He says, that's when grace comes to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance. Anybody ever have this on this former lust? And I'm going to just help you here. Let me help you here. So a lot of times we think, well, you know what? You can get down on yourself because we were ignorant to it. We didn't know. Some of you know now. Would you go back? No, you're not going to go back because you know. Before, you didn't know. You might have had an idea, but you didn't really know. So now you can stay away from it. So thank God for his grace. Amen? So we obedient children do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior. The Holy One called us, and what does he say for us to be? Be holy like the Holy One who called us in all our behavior. Man, that's one we got to work on. That verse right there, that's one that means we can take, you know, finish up this year. We got a whole new year. We got to work on our behavior. And it's not a gimme. You don't come and say, well, I'm going to church now. That's just going to be fine. No, we got to work on our behavior. This is a everyday task. We work on it. And there's going to be good days where we just behave. I mean, you know, we should get the cookie. And there are going to be days that we don't even need to have our hands near the cookie. Right? Because our behavior just doesn't. And you know, you can't kid yourself, kid anybody else. God's the one that's going to judge that. Right? So we got to make sure that. You know, it's just true. And the reason I'm saying this, excuse me, there's a lot of people in their mind, they think I'm okay. And I serve God the way I want to serve him, you serve him the way you want to serve him. And, you know, it happens all the time. I mean, folks will be praying for people, and you go, they can pray? I didn't even know they went to church. Do you understand? Or they'll ask for prayer. Or they'll make some Christian statement that they've learned from somebody else. But they never had a single conversation with God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the behavior. Remember that? The behavior thing? So you can't say, yeah, we need to just pray and ask God for this and that, and then 5 minutes later, you're going to the club. You got to be careful with our behavior. Be careful. You understand? Because it's important. How many want to be a light to the world? How many want to make sure your children grow up and that they make assurance of the kingdom of God, that they live for the kingdom, in the kingdom? Because that's what we're going to give up. And this is not easy for me to speak on or say, but we're going to give up those places in the kingdom. We don't want to do that. I think we've lost what we lose. We really do. We lost that. We think, well, I just want a better life now. Really? A better life now? Listen, to have a better life now, maybe church ain't the thing you ought to be doing. I'd be focusing on just getting my life, how it just be nice and calm and sweet. Because a better life now, it may not be church that we want to do. You might want to be in the, make sure you're in the right social club and connections with people. That way, if you need something, people will be there. That kind of gears up to get your best life now. We're talking about giving your all for the kingdom of God. Saying, God, I'm just yours, whatever it is you want. And wherever God wants, and you saying, God, I want you to do whatever it is you want for my life, we don't understand. Now we may be going through struggles and troubles. He said, and Jesus said this. He really interfered with, he says this. Watch what he says. In John, he says, listen, all of you been following me? And he's fed all the people. And they all was for him, and they will. Man, so Jesus leaves and they follow him. They get tickets and get in the ship and follow Jesus. And then he says, you know what? Let me just see. Let me test the waters here. Let me see who's for me. He says, listen, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And they say, this is a hard saying. Who can bear this? And many quit following him after that point. Many. Because he just laid it out. He said, okay, I know, because everybody was gone because the crowds were getting bigger. Everybody was getting popular. You know, Jesus, wherever he went, masses of people were following him. And he said, I'm going to just test everybody today. You know, I'm taking a boy's meal and praying over it, and we're picking up 12 baskets of leftovers, and people's, you know, they're all excited, and they're saying they're for me, and they're with me. Let's see. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Whoa. Who can bear that? What is that kind of words? You can't say things like that. And many, it says many, the Bible says many quit following him after that point. Many. Because what did he do? He said, I'm going to just show you where it all, here's the line, I draw a line, here's the deal. It's not about being a part of our group. It's about whether or not you have accepted Christ and his blood and what he's done for you to be the payment. And that's important, very important that we understand this. So he says, verse 16, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, how does he judge? According to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Conduct your in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. How many see that? For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And I could go, this stuff just goes on and on. There's nowhere to really stop. But I want you to understand these are important principles. So I hope this is encouraging you today, that you understand these valuable things that God sets forth in his word. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to find a place to stop here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians, I think I have just a few more verses here to show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 7, and we'll read down to 16. It says, "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day." Now, he's addressing is this idolatrous practice that God pulled people out of. That's the worship of someone other than God. That's anything other than God. Any practice that God does not approve of is idolatrous. Now, I want you to understand, how many think God changes his rules on what's idolatry? I don't think he does. But, you know, again, we're going to be in sync, and we're going to just, you know, we kind of feel like, you know, well, God, there's so many good things that is happening in the world today. You know, surely God's looking at this with, and he's fine. Well, let me tell you something. The church was suffering from this early on. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth was to straighten up, again, these philosophies and traditions of men that would come into the church early on. Will Durant, a church historian, he made this statement. He said, "The church did not reject paganism, they adopted it." Think about that. They adopted it. And we have to be careful that we don't adopt anything like that. So watch this. He says, "Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the age have come." Let me see that. So they were written for what? Our example. And that happened for our instruction. So we have to gain insight from this. Therefore, verse 12, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." Can you fall? Just ask a question. Can you fall? I believe you can. I don't think that the scripture teaches us once we're saved, we're always saved. I believe it warns us against that. I think it says you can be born again, but you can fall also. So when a man thinks himself to be something that he's not, he deceives his own self. So you could think that. But listen, be careful that we take heed to this. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall, does not fall. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. Also said that you will not be, way of escape, so that you will be able to endure it. Verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. So he's saying, flee from idolatry. And we started out in verse 7, he says, be not idolaters. Flee from idolatry. Do you see this? So this is important stuff that we need to take into consideration. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men. You judge what I say. Verse 16, do not, it is not the cup of blessing which we bless, a sharing in the blood of Christ. Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? So he's letting us know this is a sharing in that body. He says, since therefore is one bread, we are many, are one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And so I believe that he's wanting us to understand as we share in that. We don't share in what we've done. We share in what he's provided. Christ has provided the sacrifice. Christ has provided his body. Christ has provided the blood. We share in that. And that's something we have to accept. Now, sharing in that is more than just saying, I accept it. It's more than that. But sharing in it means that you would stand with Christ. He said, many of you are going to flee. And what did they do? When Jesus was taken, what did the disciples do? They fled. They denied him. They were afraid. But later on came to realize that, listen, we got to share in this with him. And if dying is what we do, then sharing, and that's what sharing means, you accept the consequences of it. You accept whatever's going to be said to you about living that life and being faithful. And I think that's important that we understand that. So, I just wanted to point out that verse to you. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm probably going to stop on this reading here, but I'll start in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and we want to get to that 13th verse, very important verse. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Let's make sure we understand that. Not going to die, dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. So outside of the blood of Christ coming and redeeming us, what was our end result? Death, and you're not coming back. That's who we were. Let me tell you, I am so thankful somebody told me about Jesus and his blood and his redeeming power. Because he said, just comes out and says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Not going to die, dead. We were dead in our trespass. How many thankful? Aren't you thankful? We were dead. We're alive and we're enjoying ourselves. We're living our life, but to God, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. That's where we were, dead in our trespasses and sins. But I'm thankful that he changed that for me. I'm so thankful that he made a difference in my life. Thank you, Lord. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So it's the same thing. How many know the same thing that was driving you is driving everybody else? No different. You ever seen folks say, well, you don't realize what I'm going through. You're going through what I went through. That same prince and power that was driving me was driving you and driving everybody else away from God. Same one that drove Adam and Eve away from God and separated them from God. That power that separated them is the same power that told Cain to slay his own brother. And he obeyed him. He didn't obey God. He obeyed the prince and power of the air. Who did Adam obey? Same one. Who did I obey when I was living in sin? Same one. And everybody else is still obeying that same prince and power of the air. Well, I'm telling you, I made a decision. I ain't listening to him no more. I'm not going to pay no mind to him no more because somebody told me that there's a better way. And that's what we got to be willing to accept. Do you want the better way? The better way to have life eternal. We're not talking about your best life now. You might still go through stuff. Listen, it's hard-pressed to tell Peter he chose the better life. He could have went on and started his own fishing business, got in 5 or 6 brand-new fishing boats and had a whole crew and made them millions of dollars. He wound up on a cross, hung upside down, crucified for the Lord Jesus. It don't seem like it's the better way, but let me tell you something. When he goes to checking off names, he's going to go, Peter, you here? I'm here, Lord. I'm right here. Got his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I say that's the better way. But the world, society today don't call it that. There's been folks who gave their life. Stephen could have went on. He could have been, he could have done great things. You ever read the when Peter starts, he could have been some spokesman. He could have been a CEO of a company. He could have ran stuff. I mean, this guy articulated the scripture like it was amazing. You know where he found himself? In the dirt, being buried by rocks, thrown by people, looked up and said, I see him standing at the right hand of God. That's where he wound up. It's hard to say that's better. From the standards today, it don't look better. But to him, it was better. Do you see the difference? And I think we got to have to understand these principles. They're very important to God. So, in which we formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Among them, we too, all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. That's us. We might as well get over. We were there. And if you're not covered by the blood, you're still there. How many understand that? We can't kid ourselves. You say, I'm going to church. I'm going to Faith Temple. That don't give us qualification for absolutely nothing. You can come here. You can be here even after we leave, you can come sit in here. This building, this name, it ain't going to give you anything. You can, listen, you got to have the blood of Jesus covering you. Amen? So I want you to keep that in mind, that no matter what. And I was telling them this morning, I said, listen, gentlemen, it's about relationship. I said, it ain't about me. It ain't about our church. It ain't about my message. It's about a relationship. And I said, you got to have your own relationship with God. My wife was standing right there. I said, it's about your relationship with God. You got to know him for yourself. It don't matter what church you're attending. Don't matter who your preacher is. I ain't going to get you there. Your church ain't going to get you there. But if you get you a relationship with God, your church can quit on you. Your preacher can quit on you. But let me tell you, God will never quit on you. You got to know him for yourself. And I said, that's what I've been praying. I said, let me tell you, God wants to reveal himself to you for yourself. I mean, they just standing there looking. They just looking, but they knew it was that moment. We had our moment. It only took seconds, but God gave that moment. You got to know him for yourself. They gave us the information for us to contact them later. I might call them. And they right there in the Roll Tide country. Tuscaloosa. Thank you, Lord. Man, some folks will be listening to this and they're gonna say amen because I said Roll Tide. Oh my. The Lord works mysterious. Thank you, Jesus. So how many see this in the Scripture? Among them we too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. But here's the verse. Here's the one that I'm telling you to get us. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Do you see that? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with him. And seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, how many still here? You know you're here. What is he talking about? Remember God's reality and our reality? I'm going with God's on this. There's going to be a time, should the Lord tarry in his return, that my day may expire, but I'm still going with God in this. My last thoughts, I want to just declare that he's God and there's no lie in him. He can't lie. Jesus declared it. I'm saying that I've been raised with him. I've been seated with him. And that's what I'm going. The just shall live by faith. That's what he said. That's what I'm going with. I know sickness might try to come against you. Death might try to swallow you up. But I'm declaring to you and everybody else that's listening to this, I'm going with what God said. I've been raised with him. I'm seated with him. And I'm thanking God that it's mine already. Amen? I mean, thank God for that. And that's why, this is why you can live it today. You live it today, but that's a reality that's yet to come. But is it real to me now? In the spirit, it's real to me. I'm thankful for it. That's why I don't want to behave like I used to, the former ways. I don't want to do that. I've come out of that stuff. I want to acknowledge that I'm grateful for what God has done and doing in my life today. So keep this in mind. Even when you were dead in your transgressors, were made alive. And he raised us and done all those things. Verse 7, so that, watch this, in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So you got to hold on because you don't even realize how God wants to use the life you live now for another generation that comes up behind you. And there's been folks who've done it. All of our lives, people has hung in there and been faithful. And it's passed on to you and I. And God wants to pass that on. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. How many thank God for that gift? Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God's so good to us. Verse 9, not as a result of works. And we talked about earlier, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. God prepared them that we should walk in them. Amen? Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12, remember that you were at all times separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers up to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You ready for that another but God? Here it is. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That is amazing to me. Hallelujah. How did it happen? By the blood of Christ. I've been brought near by the blood of Christ. So I'm telling you, what's been given for us, the sacrifice that's been made, it's not just any sacrifice. It's an incredible sacrifice, a supreme sacrifice, the only one that you and I'll ever need. There's not many ways to be born again. I'm telling you, there's not many. There's one way, and that's by the blood of Christ. I've been brought near by the blood of Christ. I wasn't a part of it. You and I were aliens, but the commonwealth of Israel, but we've been brought nigh. I mean, thank God God's done that for you. I'm thankful. I appreciate him for doing that for me. So when you see this verses like this, you can just go on and on and on and on and on and read this stuff. It's absolutely incredible. And I'm just thankful that God gave us an opportunity to see some of these things. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off, can you remember that? We are far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So I want to tell you, make sure that you spend some time giving glory and thanks to God for the blood. We're talking about God at work, and God's DNA is what we've been dealing with. Think about that. God, when he started out, he made it good. Everything that he did was good. There was no mutation in the blood line of Adam until sin came. Satan spoiled it, lied to him, and they accepted that lie, believed the lie. And we know if you believe a lie, your soul will be damned. That's what the scripture says. But we reject any lie from Satan. He's a liar, the father of every lie, and we're going to accept the truth. Amen? How many know the truth sets you free? How many can handle the truth? I want to be able to handle the truth. Amen? Sometimes the truth is not fun to hear. It's not fun to hear. But how many know that's what sets us free? And this is what we have right here. I've been brought near by the blood of Christ, and I'm so thankful. So if you ever felt like God's off somewhere and he's not listening to you, you're near. You're brought near by the blood of Christ. So anytime you feel that way, you just go back and look at the scripture. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. We want to just give God thanks. Amen. Isn't he good? He is so good. I appreciate all of you. I thank God for you. I want to encourage you in the word today. I want you to realize the strength and authority that you have in God's word and who you are. You're very important to God. And God designed and worked out every detail in your life to have you where you are. He didn't want to do any in any. In this, I know you've been, this, everybody's got their own story. And I'm sure that there's a story in every seat here today of what you've been through and things that God's helped you with and some battles and some victories and all of that stuff. But I want you to know this. God will never leave you, never forsake you. God's at work doing an amazing thing. We just got to walk it out. We got to realize what Christ has done for us is enough. It's not something that God has yet to do, still needs to do. He's already been done, but we got to walk it out in Christ and what Christ has done for us. So it's not recognizing Christ in some statue or anything. You know, people have different things that they try to recognize. You got to recognize him for what the Bible says he's providing. That's the blood that he shed. The death, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's very important. And that's something that he tells us that we got to remember. That's something that he tells us we need to celebrate. We need to acknowledge. His death and his burial and his resurrection is something that we have to continually keep, be thoughtful of that. Be very thoughtful. So I want you to keep these things in mind, will you? And let's just ask God this time of year that God will use us, that we'll speak the word in truth, we have wisdom and understanding and know what God wants us to do. How many want wisdom? And God wants to give us that. He does. So let's honor him and thank him today. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for the opportunity you've given for us to worship you and honor you. I just appreciate you, Lord, for all that you do. You are so amazing. Thank you for the opportunity to share today, to share with people, Lord, that and just be an encouragement to them. God, I pray, Lord, right now that the word that you give us today would become real to us, that we'll see it clearly. God, that we could go back and go over it again and just rehearse these things in our own lives, Lord, how incredible it is to know what you provided for us. We used to follow the course of this world, the prince and power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. That was us. God, we were all involved in that, Lord. But now we have rejected. We reject the prince and power of the air. We reject the lies of Satan. And we accept what Christ has provided for us through his redemptive work on the cross. His blood that was shed for us, we accept that. We accept Christ as our lamb, our sacrifice. We accept that. And we thank you for it, Lord. Father, we give you glory and honor. That provision that was made for us. Not only did you provide it for us, but Lord, you showed us in your word how to accept it and live it out. So we ask you, God, help us with our behavior. Help us to see your word clearly, Lord, and help us to be the light, an example to those that we care about, we love. There's so many people, Lord, in our family, in our community, in our town. So many people, Lord, that need to hear the truth and finally come to realize that church is not something that we have to struggle with to do. But God, we just got to accept what Christ did. Accept what he did, and then we work on our behavior by living out the example that he set forth for us. I just pray, Lord, each person here could see and realize the impact that you want to use them mightily in to impact the people that you put them around. God, their family, God, their friends, their co-workers. God, I pray, Lord, right now that we can be an example. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's in our community, throughout our parish. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're raising up people to come to hear the truth of the glorious gospel that you've delivered to us through Christ Jesus. We honor you, Father, and we give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. What a great God. Isn't he good? I am just so thankful for the Lord. I appreciate God for his goodness. And I'm thankful for all that God does for us. He's been good to us. We want to congratulate Sister Nicole. Congratulations. And we want to continue to remember all the elected officials of our parish that we continually pray for our parish. It makes no difference. We're responsible to pray for our country, for every official that's in office. We have a responsibility to pray for them and to hold them up before the Lord. That's God's requirement. It does make no difference on who you favor. It has nothing to do with what God requires of us. And so I'm telling you, if we're ever going to see God do what God said he would do is when we hold up everyone in prayer and seek God's wisdom and understanding, and that's our responsibility. So I'm encouraging you to do so, encouraging you. There's been a different elected officials for our parish. We should pray for each one of them sincerely and hold them up and say, God, bring wisdom and understanding to our whole parish in health and wholeness. Because we need God. I'm telling you, we need him. And he'll respond if we do it with the honesty in our heart. He'll respond. And so we want to congratulate you and thank God for your faithfulness. And I know God's going to use you mightily in helping in what you stand for. So God is good, isn't he? So we appreciate the Lord. I thank God for each one of you. I love you. And I'm just excited about what the Lord's going to do. Let's just remind everyone, next Sunday, Brother Marcel will be here ministering for us. I spoke to him a couple of days ago. He was trying to sneak down here and come out on a boat with me. And I said, brother, you going to make that drive in like 10 hours or whatever it was? He said, oh, I missed the whole day. He thought it was He thought it was Wednesday. He called me on Thursday. He said, I'm coming. I'm getting in my car. I'm coming. I said, brother, that's a long drive to kill a duck. He said, but I got the fever so bad, he said. I said, well, when you come, I'll stick you out there. And you might not want to get caught, though. The season will be closed. So he told me, he said, nah, better not do that. But it's tempting. But we thank God. So he'll be here ministering for us. So again, thank you so much. I love you. Thank God for you. And let's remember Thursday night, we're going to continue our Bible study. A Christmas message you don't want to hear is what we talked about. So if you hadn't heard the first part, I have a responsibility to share the truth with you, and we'll go from there. Amen. God bless you. Love you.